project management isn't a one-time thing, a week. It's not like catching up. It shouldn't be burdensome. It really is the vehicle, if set up correctly and done like, what are the next two or three things I need to do, is the vehicle for success. And the biggest reasons why initiatives fail or they take way too long and they become way over budget is because of project management.
Welcome to the Healthcare Leadership Experience, a place where healthcare leaders will share proven strategies and innovative approaches to leading the clinical and business side of healthcare. This show is sponsored by Vi Healthcare Consulting, who has proudly helped hospitals save over $700 million in non-labor costs since 1999. Here's your host, Lisa Miller, founder and CEO of Vi Healthcare.
Hi, this is Lisa Miller, and you're listening to the Healthcare Leadership Experience. Today's episode is High Performance Project Management, and we have Pandu Mitri here today, who is one of our senior business analysts. He's also helped lead our technology team. I wanted to invite him in today because he has so many projects, and he does work closely with a lot of projects with our clients and our systems. So welcome, Pandu.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that introduction and having me on the podcast.
And of course, we have Lisa Lauder, our producer. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So project management, it's such an interesting topic, right? We have project management training. We have people who are employed by the hospital for project management. You know, they really are wanting to push key strategic initiatives, whether that's technology, whether that's performance improvement initiative. Project management is so important. In fact, I think that one of the top reasons, if not the top reasons, why strategic initiatives fail is because they fail to get implemented. So it is around project management. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but it is a critical skill in healthcare. So Pandu, as we jump in, can you give us your thinking around what does it mean to have a high performance project management approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like there's so many different levels to project management. From my perspective, you know, it's internal project management with our organization, then, you know, externally with hospitals and working with their project managers on the work that they're doing. So, you know, I think one of the first things that you really have to consider is, what are your goals? You have to be super clear on the goals in terms of project management. You know, I say that because if I'm helping someone at a hospital manage a project, you know, I need to understand exactly what they're trying to accomplish and how they're doing it with the structure, their leadership that they have there. You know, and for example, if you go to a certain hospital that doesn't have a strong supply chain, they might have project managers, you know, that aren't getting approval to do certain work and there's no alignment in the organization. So that would be an example of, you know, not having a high performing project management system in place. And, you know, the way you fix that is to communicate and implement some sort of clear, realistic, and pragmatic goal that you can achieve. So, you know, I think in order to do that too, you need to be able to prioritize. So, you know, combining, you know, clear goals with prioritization and having the ability to track your priorities in real time is what makes high performance project management.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that nuance is the internal and external, right? So there are two things someone's juggling, because when you have a project, you're juggling the internal team, but you're also juggling the external team. So if you have some kind of implementation or goals, and if you brought on a company, there's two different elements. You've got to manage external and internal, which I don't think a lot of people talk about. They always think, oh, I got to project manage my team, but you've got to project manage all those involved, which is an external folks as well. So one of the aspects of high performing project management is, as you mentioned, you know, you talked about an approach. We're going to talk about what system you use. And a lot of times systems, you can use systems, you know, in Excel, and there's different templates. We use Workfront. I encourage everyone to check it out. We don't get any kind of reimbursement for mentioning them, but we've been using Workfront for years, and it's actually one of the top project management systems, you know, and particularly for healthcare because of the HIPAA compliance and the high standards used, you know, they use at Workfront. But when we brought on Workfront, the little bit of the prep time was to create a system for us. You mentioned that you have to have your own system. So for us, we are managing these margin improvement, performance improvement initiatives, and we have to track literally hundreds and hundreds of these initiatives with many clients. So a client can call us up and say, Pandu, where's this project? You know, we can go into our workflow system and tell them where it is. You know, that requires a commitment from us and all the people working on the project to include their updates. And while sometimes it may seem like, oh, that's an unnecessary task to even quickly update it, we've made the system such that we have 7 milestones that we use it by to measure different aspects or where we would be along the way in a project, in a margin improvement project. So I think what makes high performing, you know, project makes what's the thinking and the approach, like you talked about earlier, what system are you going to use? We use Workfront, but we customize Workfront because we know there's specific milestones that need to be met. And if we skip one, it's going to cause a problem. We've got to go through them in a, such a way that makes us successful in helping our clients achieve their goals. So whatever system you're going to use, it has to be thought out, right? It's not just saying, okay, well, what do you think we should do? I'm just kind of put it in. You know, well, there's specific milestones you need to achieve. And typically hospitals have also performance improvement goals, and those projects have to be put together, and they probably should have very similar 7 steps of those milestones should be similar to what we use. If you're interested in that, you can email me and I can share our template for those 7 milestones, but they should have the same because it's going to come up every time.
Yeah. And you know, just to add to that, I think, you know, at the bare minimum, you need some sort of project management software to help you with what you're doing. And then from there, you can kind of build upon that personally to what works best for you. And, you know, keeping track of things and being able to measure them is so important. And having the software allows you to create reporting customized to the work that you're doing, whether it's to give it to a client or to look at it internally. And then personally, what I do is, you know, on top of using Workfront, some people use Outlook calendars, but then some people track stuff in Excel. And what I do is, you know, at the end of the day, I'll write down a list of tasks that I have that I need to accomplish, and I'll prioritize the top 3 tasks that I need to get done in order to keep these projects moving. And it goes hand in hand with the project management software because you can visually see how far along you are with certain projects. And I think that has a huge impact on the amount of work and the tasks and prioritizing to get these projects done.
Can you talk about what you do at the end of the day? And the reason why I wanted to have you on this show talking about project management is because you are such a consistent, stable force here at VI, and you're able to do things that I just think are incredible. And there's lots of reasons why, but I believe your way of managing projects is probably high on that list. So you talk about at the end of the day, which I know you do, because I know you stay at the end of the day a little later and you're wrapping up things. And can you talk about that every single project? What are the 3 next steps? Does that take you a long time to do?
No, not at all. And I think it's so important because it can get really overwhelming really quickly when you have so many projects to do. And, you know, people look at their projects and say, oh, I have 10 things that I need to get done for these projects. And you have to really just bring it down to bite-sized pieces and say, you know, instead of having 10 projects to complete, what are 3 tasks that I can do right now to get 1 project done or 2 projects done? And then consistently do that every single day. And then eventually that helps build your prioritization and get you through these projects so you can actually implement. And throughout that process, you get some clarity on what are the most important things you need to do and avoid all those unnecessary details that, you know, aren't really required for you to complete the project.
That's a really great strategy. And there's some tactics in that, Pandu. So thank you. But, you know, project management isn't a one-time thing. A week. It's not like catching up. It shouldn't be burdensome. It really is the vehicle, if set up correctly and done like you do that, which is what are the next 2 or 3 things I need to do, is the vehicle for success. And to your point, the biggest reasons why initiatives fail or they take way too long and they become way over budget is because of project management. And there's lots of reasons why that happens. But if people would take a daily bite-sized approach and really use a system and are very thoughtful they can get through initiatives. It's not the big pushes. It's actually the small gains that get you the final success. So I have another question. If you're starting out right now, where should someone start if you're not optimizing, you know, a project management system? Can you just talk through, you know, just quickly, high level, how would you encourage someone to put a project management system in place? And I'm talking about that individual person that could be in a department, supply chain. This is, you know, this is not like a big platform or approach for the whole hospital, but this is the person that's like, I'm overwhelmed with all these projects. What can they do right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to try to educate yourself as best you can. You know, there's most likely there's someone you're working with that's also dealing with project management. So want to get advice from them and try to figure out the inefficiencies that you have in your process for your project management and compare to others and then kind of build from there. But I really think it comes down to just educating yourself on where you are and what areas aren't working for you. So do you have too many projects? Okay, so, you know, why do you have too many projects and do all these projects need to be done right away? So take it step by step, ask the right questions. And I think, you know, talking to people about it that are other project managers is really helpful. And, you know, that's part of the work that we do too. I mean, we go into hospitals and we talk to people about how they're managing their projects. And, you know, majority of the time we can tell right away how robust their project management is just by how these contracts are being handled. So I think that would probably be a good place to start.
No, it's a great point. I do think that hospitals have, you know, their resource constraints. And so more people are doing more things. And, you know, I would encourage everybody as they're looking at starting out with their projects is to do exactly what Pandu said. I am full agreement. And, you know, figure out a system you like that makes sense. It could start maybe by paper. You can move that paper to Excel or, you know, maybe jump right into a system that you could use online if your hospital has one. But it's really not the creation of a project management system. It's not a high performing project management system. It's using it and it's using it and you got to gain alignment and milestones and really letting that system be the accountability, the collaboration vehicle so that it gives visibility. So if a senior leader says where we are with the project, it removes the emotion, the stories behind why things are getting done. You can go into the project management system and say, here's what the data says. This is what's going on. And I think that's a very useful tool because sometimes there's some finger pointing about projects, what's going on here or there. And if you use a project management system, the finger pointing goes away and you let the data speak for itself. So Lisa, I have a question for you. You utilize a project management system. I know because I'm in your project management system because we have projects together and that has evolved over the years. I love use Asana. Can you talk about your experience with projects and a project management system and your teams and finger pointing and how you work through that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to Pandu and Cassandra, who is my chief of everything, always says the profits are in the process. And I love that line because the profits really are in the process. The more convoluted and the more labor intensive a process becomes, the more it costs. And so when you can simplify your processes and you can get things done faster by using sound project management practices, then you can actually increase your profitability on a project in business and you can improve your margins in healthcare. The challenge that I have sometimes and what I'm trying to work through, and Pandu, I'd love your insights on this, is I want to create a self-managing company. And that might sound really woo-woo or, you know, pie in the sky, but where I have a problem with the finger, it's not so much finger pointing as hands off. Oh, I didn't know that was mine to do. Oh, I didn't know I needed to take that. And so people are more hands up versus finger pointing. And what I would like for people to do is have more ownership over what needs to be done so that it's not just a project manager that needs to assign all the tasks, but individuals look at the tasks and say, oh, I know that one's for me. I'm going to move the project along because I see that this other thing is done. I'm going to take the baton and move it forward versus waiting to be asked to take the baton and move it forward. That's where some of our challenges have been. When it works great. You know, we've started setting up these forms for our clients to fill out when they have requests for us. And that is something that works really, really effectively because those requests go to a specialized area where we can assign responsibility. We've also started using the system for temporary tasks because we have a team inbox. And so when a client emails something to our team inbox, we can create a temporary task to ensure that the person who needs to respond to that email realizes that that task, that response, that activity is for them. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we face is really having clarity on who owns what and how do we gain greater self-management and self-ownership of the projects and all the moving parts.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And temporary management tasks that you have that come through. I haven't experienced that, but that was interesting to hear. And I think, you know, just from my perspective and my experience, you know, the way we do it is we assign tasks not only based on projects that we're familiar with, but also sometimes, you know, purposely for getting someone out of their comfort zone, giving them the responsibility to work on a task that they've never worked for before. And it's not to criticize or demoralize anyone. It's really just to get them to learn how to do new tasks so that everyone can kind of build that efficiency and having project management, because it's like a positive correlation. You know, the more people you have in your company that have the skills and efficiency to have a higher performing project management approach, the better your whole organization is going to perform. So the way we do it is we assign a task to someone in our project management system. And then from there, you know, that person has the responsibility to manage that project, whether that means going to someone for help, that could be part of their project management, which is fine. But at least you're learning how to do that on your own. And then, you know, we do have tasks that come through that we don't put in the project management system. And it's on a case-by-case basis. It goes to people individually. And that's just part of your prioritization too. So I don't know if that helps, but that's just my experience.
Yeah, I find it, and I'm not sure if it's the same in hospitals, but I find it is challenging to manage email and a project management system. So often there are emails that need to be moved into project management, and people will communicate updates that should be in project management through email. And so it can often feel like you're having to coordinate an update in two different spaces. And that to me is not an efficient use of resources, right? You talk about processes, profitability. If you're now managing two different streams of communication, that's hard to do too. So it's almost like you have to have an all or nothing approach to how business gets done.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think the thing that distinguishes a project versus a task is, you know, a project is revenue based. Does it make revenue for your organization? And then if it is, that becomes a project that goes into your project management system. And that's, you know, part of the reason why I use the Workfront for project management. But then I also keep, you know, either a spreadsheet or my tasks that I have separately. And that's why there's a few layers to it. But if it's a revenue based project, it has to be in the project management system. And then other tasks that are, you know, not necessarily revenue based or could turn out to be revenue based, you know, might not go in right away. But once you get through these tasks, you can kind of identify whether it's going to be a project that's going to need to be moved over or not.
What a great discussion about emails and a project management system and having to update both places.
You experience the same pain that I do.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to get an update on something and sometimes I don't know where to find it. Sometimes it's in my inbox and sometimes it's in Asana, and I just wish it was in one place and it was easier to manage.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's a great thing to think about and to solve for. One of the things that I decided to do a few years ago with the help of Hector Rodriguez, who really took over our project management system and wanted to level up it. And we owe him a huge debt of gratitude for taking that on and lifting us all up by his leadership there. And, you know, the one input I had, and he had it all mapped out and collaborated with everyone on what it should look like, but really is tracking time. And tracking time is really important because we tend to not accurately assess things that take longer, shorter, or things that go on. And data tells the truth. So we hit a project and we time date stamp it when it starts, but then we're also saying, okay, we have this anticipated time it's going to complete. And we try to be realistic as possible based on our experience, depending on the initiative. We do like to get complete initiatives within 30 days. Some of them realistically will take 45 or maybe 60, but really try to keep in that time frame. But when you time date stamp something, you put an estimated completion date, and now you can measure. Were you accurate about your anticipation of when it would complete? You can measure, okay, we're getting to 5 days before completion date. Where are you? What's your comfort level? We can measure different milestones, like I mentioned earlier, where we are on the milestones. And then we can measure really how long does it take someone to complete a project. And similar projects, do we have variation in our own company, similar projects? Things are taking longer. Are they taking longer for specific reasons, like Pandu said, because we have more projects? Or is it just something's going else is going on? But the data doesn't deceive you. If I can look in and say, wait a minute, our projects are taking 8 days longer, or I'm getting more red flags. What's going on? Do you need help? Or how can we intervene? What's the real problem?
I love that, Lisa. We do the same thing. We time track, and it really allows us to A, get a sense of the average length of time it really does take to do something, because, you know, there's a saying inside of my company, and it might exist inside of yours too, but it's called working at the speed of Lisa. And so because of my years of experience, I am often able to get things done a lot faster than other people inside of my organization. And so Cassie is always saying to me, if it takes you 5 minutes, it takes someone else 15, because they don't operate at the same speed as you. And so time tracking allows you to really see what the true time is, if you're averaging certain tasks amongst the team members, and it allows you to isolate the outliers of when productivity is really not where it needs to be.
Yeah. And I think it's operating at speed, at least it works here as well. But here's the interesting point about that, right? I think we go into default thinking or default operating systems. So the example is your calendar invites are defaulted to an hour. I will never have an hour meeting with my team unless it's something special. I'll never have an hour meeting with our clients unless it's something special. And we tell our clients, listen, we value your time and then the time that we're spending, you know, working on projects. That's what you want us to do, not on meetings and calls unless, you know, they're necessary. So my default time to a meeting could be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or a half an hour. Half an hour is a lot for me. And Pandu knows that too. I'm going to change the default and make it 15 minutes or 20 minutes. The reason why it's so important is because I see it a lot with this default thinking of how long things should take. And I don't think I'm anything special. I just feel like, okay, my way of thinking is like, how do we shorten the time frame? I don't want to shorten the result or shorten the outcome or, you know, but I want to shorten the time frame. So what can we do to do that? And sometimes it's just saying, hey, listen, we're going to complete this in 30 days. And I see everybody like, look at me. Or I tell our clients, we're going to get this done in 30 days. So if some clients are like, wow, that's great. Others are like, that's impossible. Clients say it's impossible, probably going to be impossible. And I'm going to have to now, you know, really kind of work on their mindset. But I think project management and looking at timing, sometimes mindset, and it doesn't require that much more effort. It just requires, where can I take the time out of this?
Well, momentum loves speed. And the more time you give somebody to waste, the more time that gets wasted.
That's right.
I do think there is a difference between how some people work, though. There's a podcast on, I think it's Revolutionist History, a Malcolm Gladwell podcast, where he talks about the difference between fast thinkers and slow thinkers. And, you know, we have been rewarded through the educational system for thinking fast and completing things fast. But in some cases, for some people, they need to think slower and they need to process and do the work slower. And a lot of times the people that do think slower and do the work a little bit slower actually finish the work with a lesser failure rate, so to speak, right? And so there's a balance between what tasks require deep, slow thinking and what tasks require speed, decisiveness, and momentum instead of that longer process.
Yeah, and just to add something to that, you know, I think it can be relative sometimes. We work with, you know, all different size health systems, and, you know, sometimes larger health systems, we tell them we're going to close a project in, you know, 2 weeks or 30 days. They tell us it can't happen because they have internal controls or processes where they need to get approval from certain committees in order to either get approval to work on these projects or to make any changes on certain agreements. So, you know, whether we're ready to complete a project in 30 days, it might take them, you know, 2 months just to be able to get that approval to even do any of that work. So, you know, that leads to other questions like, you know, should your process or internal controls have to change in order to improve on how you work on your projects and how you're aligning your goals? But
that's a great point. And if the C-suite knew that the internal processes were creating a longer period of time for completion, you wonder if they would say, wait a minute, I can fix that for you. And you just wonder, just because it's accepted, because it's default, because it's the way we do it, is that the way we do it? But you're also saying the balance is there are times you need to slow down, do deep thinking, make sure it's done right. And so that's the balance I think you were talking about too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that what you just said is a really good point in terms of the bottlenecks that get created when you have to wait for people to make decisions and or approvals. I think that happens in every organization. And I think that the downside of that is the longer somebody is away from the project, the less memory recall they have. And therefore, it takes a lot longer to reinitiate the project when there's been a delay like that.
So thank you, Pandu, for a great, great discussion. And Lisa, talking about high performance project management systems and our approaches and just some of our experience. It was a fantastic discussion. I'd encourage everyone to listen to episode 22, where we talk about how to out-negotiate your vendors. Our next show is healthcare analytics. And we love to get our listeners' input on what we should be speaking about, who we could bring on the show. You know, it's really meant to be this diverse show of healthcare leaders and then those outside of healthcare, just sharing ideas, thoughts, approaches that can make your careers, your organization better. You know, it's a place to share. So thank you for listening, and we will be speaking to you soon. Thank you, Pandu and Lisa.
Hi, this is Leah. You are listening to my mom's podcast, The Healthcare Leadership Experience.
Hi, this is Fernando. If you would like to speak with my mom, just email her.